1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
Brought to you by the Marcus Majestic Parking Lot Cinema. For a unique double feature drive-in experience, check out this week's movie selections at marcustheaters.com/parkinglotcinema.
Man, there has never been a better morning to have this guy on the program.
So many questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, our music expert, he will be tested this morning, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. A little concerned about that introduction, but otherwise...
Well, you should be, because it is a very music-heavy conversation show today.
Well, I'm glad.
All right.
It should be.
All right. We'll open up with this. We'll get to your... You send us a list every week. Fire and Jim basically did the... crumble up and go, we got questions for him this week.
All right, I'm fine with that.
We were talking about Boston earlier.
And how great they are.
Great band.
Well, there's no disagreement. They did some great songs. I said Amanda was their worst song. They disagreed and said, no, it's one of their best.
I don't know that it's their very worst.
There you go.
But it's not more than a feeling or or peace of mind or long time. I mean, you know, for me, it's on the lower echelon and kind of a jump the shark song.
Well, but Fireman Jim pointed out that, in fact, that third album was number one.
Third stage.
It went to number one.
Success does not necessarily equal quality.
That's true.
Especially in the music world. I mean, I can honestly say Amanda was the song where I felt like, okay, I don't really need to pay that much attention to Boston anymore.
And when Third Stage came out, that was, I mean, all the 80s hair bands were putting out their ballads.
No, it was huge. And it was such a comeback album, too, mm-hmm. because they had the big debut album. The second album was kind of eh. And then, you know, they waited a long time. It was something like 5, 6, 7, 8 years.
Oh, yeah.
Album.
We were done.
Came back, big hit.
Mm-hmm. Love the song.
We all agreed they were a good band. We just disagreed on what. Like, if I told Jim, if we're out in my garage and we're wrenching and a bunch of, we're out there working on, what's your favorite classic car, Gary?
My favorite classic car, probably a Mustang of some 60.
Okay. Let's make it a 68 Mustang.
Yeah.
We're out there working on it. And I say to Jim, why don't you put some Boston on? And he goes over and he fiddles with the music and Amanda comes on. We send him home, right?
Well, no. I throw my wrench at that.
I'm playing it. I'm like, I'm too busy. I'm going to turn it off.
My hands are greasy. I can't touch.
My hands are all greasy, right? I can't.
All right. So that determined Gary. All right. So I win that one.
Scores 1-0, Bob.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Now, on to Gordon Lightfoot.
Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh.
A Canadian treasure.
Read my mind.
What's that?
If you could read my mind.
Yes.
Yes.
I heard it just came out, and it's pretty good.
It actually is. I had a screener. You learn a lot about this guy, and what's fascinating, like a lot of these documentaries, is you learn a lot about the people who liked him. So to see the guys in Rush,
yes,
were Gordon mm-hmm. Lightfoot fans. But then again, I'm sure you grow up in Canada, and you know, I don't know, he's maybe not like Frank Sinatra, but maybe he's Joey V,
right,
or something like that. He's one of these fixtures. Old-timer fixtures, it's nice. He cooperated, and it came out really well. It's been a lot of good documentaries. Right now, you got the Go-Go's, the Cream Magazine documentary opens today online, you know, virtual cinema. I just saw a screener a couple nights ago, Jimmy Carter, Rock and Roll President.
Really?
70s? Really, why not?
It uses the music of his presidency. You know, he was really the first candidate to get the back. Well, he and Jerry Brown at the same time got the backing of the rock and roll world, and so you see the Allman Brothers and all those Southern rock bands.
Charlie Daniels played at his inauguration. Marshall Tucker played at Jimmy Carter's.
Charlie Daniels played for him, too.
And they played
John Wayne was introduced him. You know, talk what? About, you know, when we go back to our sweet memories of bipartisanship. You look at that, and it's like, wow, really?
Yeah. Marshall Tucker, that's one of the things I took away from that big interview with Dan Rather, was Marshall Tucker said, yeah, we played, and they said he would stop and see them when they came to Georgia. He would come back. You know, it wasn't like they played for him as his inauguration, and then they never saw him again. He would swing by and say hi.
Yeah.
Jimmy
it's
would.
It's real interesting, even when you see John Wayne's speech in this, he pretty much says, you know, we're on different sides of the fence, but I believe in the man, and I believe in where he comes from, and so I wish you well. wow.
Yeah, can you imagine?
In 2020, to see something like that is really
yeah, that would be
stunning.
Almost impossible. Okay, so back to Gordon Lightfoot for a second. The documentary, If You Could Read My Mind, right?
Right.
And it's where, on Prime, Gary? Is that where you said you
found it? That's what I thought, wasn't sure. Is it on Prime, Gary, or is it
something? It's on virtual cinemas, which, I think Vine is one of those. If you Google it, or it has a website.
Okay, so you say it's a good documentary.
Yeah, it is. Very worthwhile.
Okay, and here's the other question. Does anybody in the world, without reading it off a sheet of paper, know the words in the right order for sundown?
I'm sure somebody.
Come on.
I did.
I don't know if I'm
creeping. Gary was good, yeah. Right.
Here's the problem. Yeah, but I don't know if I'm creeping around your back stairs you better
Gary
take
was right.
Should I take care or creeping around your back stairs? I think
take
both.
Care is first. Creeping is after that.
Jeez, it's written right
so
there.
So I got that one wrong.
That song in the documentary?
No, if I have to do it from top to bottom, no way.
Right.
I'll come closer with the Edmund Fitzgerald. Yeah. We're sailing, now we're sinking, now we're dead.
That's pretty much it.
It's 7 a.m., the main hatchway caved in. He said, fellas, it's been good to know you, right?
Or something like that,
yeah. All right.
Well, first he serves breakfast, and then he comes in, right?
What did they have?
I don't know.
Don't even say
I wouldn't be able to eat. if it was that stormy out there, I wouldn't be able to eat. I couldn't sit down in the
You're no sailor.
You know, somebody sings the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald every year on the anniversary at the Mariners Church here in Detroit, which has a memorial to those sailors.
Wow.
So Gordon Lightfoot must be some sort of an icon around there, right? I mean, what?
Across the river, maybe, over in Ontario.
Okay. All right.
Here, he's just a crusty old musician who we like.
Sure. Who sang that ship song?
But
he put out an album this year that's really good, an acoustic album that's really nice.
How is Gordon's voice these days? He's 81.
It's pretty good because he's smart enough to not try to be Freddie Mercury or even Gordon Lightfoot in 1976.
Good.
He just gets up there and he does his songs.
So he's still touring when wow, at 81.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
I have to see Gordon Lightfoot. I need to make
interesting.
I would presume he'll be, because he had to cancel a lot of dates too, so I imagine he'll try to make those up next year.
All right. And thirdly, so now we've settled the Gordon Lightfoot thing. Now on the next topic that we're talking about, Grand Funk Railroad. Do you personally know all the guys in Grand Funk Railroad?
I do.
Because they're from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and you know everybody in Michigan, right?
For almost everybody.
All right. Yeah. Do you hate them as much as Carrie does? Because
I don't hate all of them, Gary. I hate that American Band song. I just hate the Hotel Detective stuff and Sweet Sweet Connie. I hate that
the
song.
Hotel Detective.
I hate that song.
Was out of sight.
He was.
And it makes me mad, Gary. And you can't talk anybody in or out of music. You know this.
I can respect that. It's
okay.
It's certainly not Bob Dylan. And it's not even Bob Seger.
No.
They were out.
It's a fun tune. I
understand why people want to like it and the cowbell and the thing. I get it, but I reserve the right to hate that song.
True story.
Feel free. Yeah. No, I like it. I think it's a great song, but and what I love about it is it's all true. All those lyrics are like true stories that happen on the road.
Locomotion's not true.
I had that 45. I like Locomotion. I do not like American Band.
I actually like, I'm getting closer to my home. What's that song called?
I'm getting closer. I'm
your captain.
That's good stuff. That's stomping music.
Some kind of wonderful.
I'll say this for Grand Funk. They did a lot of different stuff, sound-wise.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
they even had disco. I mean, they did.
They're a little scratchy in that American Band song.
I loved We're an American Band.
You can make that a disco
that.
Song in a second.
Oh, yeah. But don't. It's a rock
and roll. You can roller skate to
that
bad boy.
It's got cowbell.
It does.
Did Blondie ever
No disco song has cowbell. Am I right, Gary?
No, that can't be true.
They actually have them.
Yes, ooh. I believe it too.
I was going to say, Gary, that would be a great name for your next book. No disco has cowbell.
Cowbell, I like
wrong.
That.
Dang it.
I like that, or at least my next album.
And I got to see Grand Funk Railroad open for Bob Seger the last time he was in town, and they were good.
Right, that's the current Grand Funk, which is without Mark Farner.
Right.
So, and that's a whole, if you want to talk about World War III, man.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, those guys, I mean, it's basically been, you know, a couple decades at this point of, you know, really ill feelings, and the other two guys doing their best to prevent Mark Farner from using the Grand Funk name in any way, shape, or form. And poor Mark Farner, some promoter puts on a poster, you know, either from Grand Funk Railroad or Grand Funk Railroad's Mark Farner, and the other guys in Grand Funk go after everybody, including Mark Farner, who's like, I didn't do it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
And so what was the fallout? He just didn't want to be...
Let's say they're A types, A personality types, mm-hmm. at least Mark and Don are. And it just got to be too much over the years. I think the cracking point that they told me was during one of the reunion tours back in the 90s. Don came up with this document he wanted Mark to sign, indemnifying Don against any potential lawsuits that might come from Mark expressing his political or religious viewpoint.
In other words, I don't like you, sign here.
So who?
Yeah, you could read it like that, and I believe Mark did.
So who are you more sympathetic toward?
I like all those guys.
Okay.
And I just wish they could, you know, just figure, go out and play and don't worry about who's going to sue you for doing what.
Look, you see these guys, right? You talk to them.
Yeah.
You know these guys.
When they're around, yeah.
Do you ever just say to them, you know, why don't you just get together and play? People would love to see you guys just play together and do your thing. And your time at TikTok, man, clock's going to run out. You're not going to be able to do this forever.
Oh, you always say that.
Okay. All right. Because you're just a fan sometimes when you talk to these guys. Like, just give us all a break and just get together again.
Play some hits.
Either a fan or you're a reporter who knows to ask the question, you know, wouldn't you make exponentially more if it was the real Grand
together?
Funk?
Together, yeah.
And if Mark could use the name Grand Funk, you know, and you were all together, wouldn't this be good? A win-win across the board?
Yeah.
And apparently not for their psyches, so.
They just want to be mad at each other. That is.
There's a lot of what my family would call nudniks in the music.
If you're a big fan, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
That just because you're mad at each other, because these guys sold out Shea Stadium.
Right.
I mean, these guys were
quicker than the Beatles did.
Right.
Oh, that was technology. That
yeah,
was.
Yeah, yeah. But they still like to use that we sold out.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. They always say that.
It's,
you know,
a
we sold.
Deal.
Yeah. No, it is. All right, now on to your list. You've settled all our...
Thank you, Gary.
Yeah, that was...
Anything comes up in the middle, just toss it in here.
We were this close to calling you about 5:45 this morning when we started.
It was really on over Amanda.
Sad thing is I'm up. So I was up.
Should have called. All right, where do we start on this? Blondie's selling her copyright to a European investment firm?
Yeah, this is, I mean, you know, not that we necessarily advocate, you know, stock advice or anything here, but this group, Hypnosis Songs Fund, out of Europe, and it's started by Nile Rodgers of Chic and one of his business managers. These guys have been very aggressive in buying up song catalogs, and basically it becomes a mutual fund. Only you own Blondie song. Now you own Blondie songs, and there are a bunch of others involved in it. So this week that was the news that Debbie Harry and Chris Stein sold the Blondie publishing, you know, and the future royalties to Hypnosis, and then if you own the Hypnosis Fund, you make money every time a Blondie song is played, every time a Blondie song is used in an ad or a film, or any other licensing purposes, that goes to the fund.
What song will make the most money for them? What Blondie song is played?
I mean, you know, Rapture might.
One Way or
American,
Another.
American Gigolo song. Yeah, One sure. Way or Another.
Yeah,
might.
Yeah, Call Me.
Call Me. So, you know, they have, Blondie probably has a good half dozen big money songs.
I would think so.
This is no surprise right here. Taylor Swift was out of control setting records this week.
All over the place. First, you know, among them, she set records for the most, let me make sure I phrase it right, the most Hot 100 hits by any woman. She's now at 113.
Wow.
Of those. What? Yeah. She was also the first artist ever to debut at both number one on the Billboard 200 chart, which is for albums, and the Hot 100 chart, which was singles for Cardigan. She was also on number one on the alternative chart. Interestingly, not on the country chart, but she's not country anymore. So, and that, you know, number one across the world, sold 2 million copies its first week on sale. So she's still gold.
I listened to the album. It's very Taylor Swift-ish.
It's her doing like the indie folk thing, or, you know, an indie pop.
It's more like
she used to be,
it's
right?
It's kind of dark and a bummer, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not
dark
right.
And
yeah, it's kind of dark.
It is. You know, look at the album cover.
It's melancholy. It's, you know, I'm the only person in the world who's ever gone through these tribulations,
sure,
type of album.
But you know what? It's new to most of her fans, I'll say.
Right, and maybe this is an album that steers those people to, like, you know.
And now they're going to accuse Bob Dylan of stealing from her.
Ooh. Take that.
Hey, man, you're stealing Taylor Swift's bit. What are you doing, Dylan?
You know what? And you know what? Bob Dylan would get a great perverse joy at being mentioned in the same sentence as Taylor Swift. Yep.
Probably, sure. Ariana Grande, she's got kind of an interesting bit of a payday.
She, on her last tour, she made a concert film during the Sweetener World Tour, and, you know, put it out there for bid, and apparently it went wild. Like, every streaming service in the world wanted it for huge money, and it looks like Netflix is going to get it for $5.2 million, which is, you know, that's like Downton Abbey money. It's, you know, it's incredible.
And if somebody's willing to pay it, you're worth it.
Right, that's it.
That's
the whole thing. So look for that sometime later this year. I don't think it's a done deal yet, but everybody's saying that, you know, that it's going to be Netflix. It's going to be that much money. Speaking of bidding wars, Sony and TriStar won the Whitney Houston biopic, I Want to Dance with Somebody.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one that's endorsed by the Houston estate, by Clive Davis, all the people who worked with her. They'll be producers. Screenplay is going to be by the same guy who wrote Bohemian Rhapsody. You know,
any ideas who Whitney will be?
They haven't said that yet. You know, the Aretha movie kind of scooped up Jennifer Hudson.
Mm.
So does she do?
You need somebody much skinnier than Jennifer Hudson
for
Whitney. No, I'm just saying, Whitney was a twig.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I know.
No, I went down to the set, to the Aretha set back in January. You should see J-Hud now.
Yeah, she lost a lot of weight.
She's like a shadow of herself.
She can't play every African-American woman singer, though.
Well, she can't, and nor do the movie makers want her to.
That doesn't
benefit them at all. So this would be a great role for, like, an undiscovered or an
sure.
upcoming.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so, too.
But,
yeah.
You know, even though I'm sure they paid the kind of money that, well, we want a star who's going to sell.
Because they're not going to sing anyway. They're going to
look what happened to J-Lo with Selena.
They're going to lip sync these because nobody can sing like Whitney could.
Depends who you get.
Come on, you're gonna try and sing like Whitney. Yeah. Good luck.
I'm not, and you're all the better for that.
But
they might find somebody who can. Again, if Jennifer Hudson had not, you know, signed on to Aretha, she'd be Whitney Houston, and she'd be singing.
Yeah,
I like the way you work. I like the way you worked that in there. I was down on the set.
Yeah,
yeah, like I get on this set of stuff.
I don't want to sound like I'm trolling Jennifer Hudson photos online.
That's a good troll,
Gary. This Go-Go's documentary that you mentioned at the beginning of our talk, is it something you've seen already? And
yeah,
okay, so it's out there.
Talked with them too, by the way. As long as I'm name dropping.
Yes.
All right,
there you go.
But yeah, no, and it's good. It's a good documentary. It's very honest.
Okay.
Okay, before we had Ariana Grande, before we had Taylor Swift, we had Britney Spears, right?
Yes.
Are we eventually going to have hashtag free Ariana, our Ariana movement someday? Because we've got this hashtag free Britney thing going on.
But if Ariana melts down and winds up in a conservatorship or something, maybe they will. You know, what you're talking about here is this campaign against the continuing conservatorship, which basically saved Britney's life.
Exactly.
That we all know. And so her dad just came out this week. I forget who he was doing the interview with, but he said, come on, it's a joke. You know, free Britney is a joke. You know, look at what this conservatorship did. We still have Britney around because of it. So
exactly.
Let the court decide if she still needs it or not. Jamie Spears also denied, you know, these rumors that he's been stealing money, you know, in his role as conservator.
Well, the free Katy thing was real, though, when we were trying to get her away from Tom Cruise. That one, that free was real.
We cared about that.
Yeah, we did. But yeah.
And the Church of Scientology has a list of who was trying to free her, too, just so you know.
We now just got added to that list.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Laugh it up.
So, you know, be careful on your walk to the parking lot.
Neil Young is suing the Trump campaign, but the different thing about this is now they want to change the law, right?
They're pushing to it now. So, yes, Neil Young has gone to court. You know, he threatened to. He did go to court to sue, you know, to sue the Trump campaign for using his songs and to prevent them from doing it ever again. On the back of it, actually it came in front of it, Artist Rights Alliance, which is an advocate group for artists, as it would say, has written a letter to all the legislators, politicians, etc., demanding that politicians on both sides get proper clearance of the music, you know, that they use at their events. And this is a letter signed by Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, Steven Tyler and Joe Perry, Lionel Richie, Elvis Costello, Pearl Jam, R.E.M., Blondie, not that they need to care anymore, and Green Day, among others. And it's just, and it's basically saying to Congress, you know, saying to the powers that be, look, let's codify a real law here, because right now it's a little fuzzy. If the campaign and or the venue paid the publishing companies, BMI, ASCAP, CSAC, whatever, you know, just a blanket fee, like a radio station, like a...
Then they have like purchased the right. Then they purchased the right to use that song, right?
But there are other laws that would indicate that, no, you need to actually get permission from the artist before using it.
So, well, the other thing politicians used to do for years was they knew they were going to get a, hey, don't use my song, but they would use it until they got the cease and desist order, right?
Right, and then get the headline.
Right, yeah. Like so-and-so. Like, I remember the first one I remember was Springsteen telling the Reagan campaign, hey, don't use Born in the USA.
Right.
That was the first one I could remember.
And they had to do that for a lot of campaigns that year.
Right. So
Fleetwood Mac, right? That's,
right.
There's all kinds.
But,
well, that Fleetwood Mac endorsed, Clinton endorsed.
Oh, that's
endorsed
right.
The Clinton use of that.
Right.
Yeah, but when Clinton, or not Clinton, but Trump wanted to use Oh Daddy.
Oh. I thought it was Gold Dust Woman. Really?
They weren't in favor of that.
That was very good, though.
Thank you. Yeah, sitting on that one, Gary. Sitting on it.
Oh,
all right. Gary, all right. Thanks for the time this morning. Right. I'm glad you settled all our disputes.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm going back and playing Amanda now.
Yay, Gary.
Babe, tomorrow's so far away.
I just threw a verbally, I'm throwing a wrench at you right now, Gary, telling you to get out of my garage.
Speaking of, since we brought up those dinosaurs, I'm going to go see the other one.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What
right.
dinosaurs are you going to see?
This is Jurassic. It's called Jurassic Quest. It's a traveling dinosaur show that you do in your car.
All right.
Fun.
Very good. All right. We'll go have fun with it, Gary.
All right. Have a great week.
Talk to you next Friday. Gary Graff, he's our music expert. You get him around here on Friday mornings.